Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best in your sports talk for Monday, June the 24th. I'm your host, DA. The week begins the countdown to NBA free agency. As of Sunday morning, we'll finally have some of the answers we've been waiting for months, maybe years for some people, when it comes to the guys like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, among others. But before that, it was the NBA draft. And last week on Thursday night, three Blue Devils were chosen in the top 10. Zion Williamson went number one to the New Orleans Pelicans. At number three, RJ Barrett went to the New York Knicks. And at number 10, perhaps a forgotten man, Cam Reddish, becomes a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Cam joined Andy and Randy at 92.9 The Game in Atlanta and discussed becoming a member of the Hawks and the idea that maybe he doesn't have the motor to elevate his game to the highest level.
I'm sure you've heard a lot of the positive things people have said about your game. I'm sure you've heard some of the negative things people have said coming into the draft as well. And for whatever reason, the thing that kept coming up was motor, was ability to motivate or something like that. Just hearing you up there earlier, talking to you now, you keep talking about hard work. Where do you think that perception comes from? Why would folks have an idea that your motor wouldn't be what it should be?
I have a calm demeanor. Yeah. People can take that, the wrong way. Take it as I'm being passive, and I don't think that's necessarily true or accurate in any way. I think I just have a calm demeanor, and but I'm ready to give my all. So
we were saying that in your press car. We're like, well, look at, he's cool, man. He's not real. He's not a guy that's gonna be out there in your
jacket.
Face. Look at him. He's smooth.
Gotta be cool.
He's smooth up here with the. And that is from the JCPenney collection, right? Yeah. I mean, you're fresh. I mean, JCPenney didn't have stuff like that when I was growing up.
But me
I mean,
either.
That is sharp right there. Yeah. And going back to the injury, because you are a little banged up right now, trying to recover from that. I don't think you're gonna be able to play in summer league and all that. So right now, your whole mindset is just getting healthy and getting on the court.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right now I feel great. Like, I really think I could play. Obviously I can't. But I feel great. I have no pain right now. And yesterday I worked with the training staff to just a little PT. So I'm just trying to get back as soon as possible. No rush. But I'm definitely feeling good right now.
What is it that's ailing you? That's not going to allow you to play in summer league. What's the issue?
Yeah, I had a partially torn groin, and I had to just get it repaired.
Right. Well, yeah, we need your hole, man.
Oh, yeah, we got
you. Yeah, we need your hole. So I'm going to leave
of
it
all
be
the
that.
Things you want to tear, a groin doesn't sound like the one you want to be messing with.
That is. Not at all. So far, so since you've been here for a couple of days now, how's your interaction been with Coach Pierce so far?
Oh, yeah, he's a real cool dude, real laid back. I feel like we kind of have similar personalities in a way, but I feel like he'll help me grow, and that's what I want to, that's the ultimate goal, is just to get better and progress every single day, and I feel like he'll be the one to push me every single day.
Has he kind of defined what he needs from you?
Here and there, I feel like that's kind of a thing we need to kind of figure out, once we get on the court and once we connect, with the rest of the team. And, I feel like, we'll just figure that out, in the future, in the near future.
Well, you could just hear from Cam Reddish in his voice that he's really low key and really chill. And maybe sometimes that is mistaken for a guy that needs to be motivated and prodded and has a tough time with self-motivation. But at the end of the day, it's totally fine if the guy is cool and calm and collected. There's been guys like that before that have reached incredible heights. The problem is when Zion Williamson went down last year for six games, Duke went 3-3, And oftentimes, Cam Reddish was a guy that seemed to be just a passenger. I think that was the difference between Barrett and Reddish with their seven-spot differential in this draft. It was that Barrett looked like he wanted the limelight and he wanted the pressure and he wanted the responsibility when Zion wasn't there, and Cam did not, that he would float in and out of games. Well, maybe there's a role for Cam Reddish to just be a specialist and not have to be the man, the alpha male that Trae Young can be for the Hawks. But at the end of the day, what you need on a regular basis of the NBA is showing up, and Reddish has to prove that he can do that. Meantime, Chris Paul, James Harden don't like one another. We talked about this last week on Around the Dial. Reports out of Houston is that that relationship unsalvageable. However, over the weekend, Chris Paul said, "I never demanded a trade." And over the weekend, there was another piece of news that came out for the Chris Paul camp, and that was that he has turned vegan. Houston seems like a weird place to not eat meat. Let's hear from the guys on Mad Radio, Sports Radio, 610 in Houston.
Chris Paul says he didn't demand a trade, but arguably more importantly, he is now in day 12 of becoming a vegan. Day 12.
Day 12.
Yeah.
Oh. I like this as long as he does it right. There's some athletes. I'm always skeptical of any athlete that claims to be a vegan, because usually what'll happen is you read the article and it's like, well, you know, usually I'm a vegan except for like every other day or like 2 days a week I eat a whole hog. So I'm all for him taking control of his diet, because as we discussed a couple days ago, or a few days ago, Landry and I got into it, and I wish we'd had a full segment to talk about it. Landry is basically painting Chris Paul out as a fat dude or something, and it really annoyed me. Even when I brought the photo from training camp last year out, where they're all on the beach, and you can see Chris Paul's abs.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
He's not shredded like, he's not as lean as like Gerald Green, but he's not fat.
But then again, who is?
Yeah, that's right. But he's, and I only bring Gerald Green up because Gerald Green in that photo is standing right next to him. But you've made this point, Mike. And it's a very, very good point. Chris Paul is well into his 30s, and he's had soft tissue issues the last few seasons. Losing a few pounds might be a really good idea for Chris Paul.
Just even like a pound or two or three every single year, like that makes a big difference.
Whether he is a thicker guy or not, just if you've got any bad body fat at all, if you're an NBA athlete, losing a few pounds goes a long way. Like all those constant, that pounding from that 2.5 to 4 miles that you run every single game,
yep,
and then all the shoot-arounds and everything in between, you take a lot of force off your joints with just a few pounds gone. So I don't... Yeah, look, we could get into the whole vegan debate. Look, there are successful athletes that are vegans. It's harder and harder the more of like a... It's called glycolytic. The more of a high-impact sport you have, the harder it becomes.
What's that, glycolytic?
No. Now I'm getting... Yeah, but
you're
anyway.
A sport.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just hard. Like, it takes a lot of effort. That's why Arian Foster deciding to do it in July was probably not the best advised move. And that's why he abandoned it so quickly.
And he plays a very physical sport.
Right,
so
right.
So I feel like it's slightly different.
And but you can do it. It just takes a lot of work. Like, you got to really plan everything out and be sure you're getting all your vitamins and minerals and enough protein without overeating. Some vegans get fat because it's so hard to get enough protein if
really?
You're like highly
they get fat.
They get fat and kind of soft and weird looking if they don't really do it right. Some vegans look super healthy. I was talking to Kylie Wong about this the other day because one of our old teammates, I can't remember who he was talking about. He said, he's like, yeah, he looks really good. Like, he's gone vegan. He's a bigger guy, but he looks really good. Because I know other guys that have gone vegan, and if they're not like super careful about it, you start almost looking like you're missing something. You almost look like a weird version of like a smoker. Like, your skin doesn't look right. Like, you're just kind of, you just don't look healthy.
How depressing would it be to become a vegan and then become fat?
Yeah.
that would be pretty depressing. Like, if you stuck to the diet.
Yeah.
Relatively, if you stuck to the plan and then you started looking fat, that would be very
depressing. Like, if you cleaned up your life and your wife left you because of it.
Exactly.
It's like if you're an alcoholic,
anything right.
If you're an alcoholic and like you stopped and you quit drinking booze, and all of a sudden your wife was like, yeah, this is no fun anymore, I'm gone.
This all was kind of buried in a story. So Jonathan Fagan's out in Los Angeles, caught up with Chris Paul at some events, and it was just kind of dropped in. A lot of the story was about the trade demand,
yeah,
and whether there was one or not. Chris Paul says no. And so at this event, Chris Paul... was munching on a plant-based burger from one of the event sponsors, Beyond Meat.
Yeah, they're coming up with synthetic meat that looks closer and closer to the real thing, which would be a big deal, because then even, like, if you're not a vegan for moral reasons or anything, it's just good for the environment. Like, takes a lot. I love...
All those cows?
I've raised beef cattle myself and sold them. I'd much rather raise a soybean patch.
Chris Paul's on the wrong side of 32. Wrong side of 33. Wrong side of 34 at this point in time. And with three more years left on his deal and the money left on that deal with the Houston Rockets, that contract is untradeable. You're not getting rid of Chris Paul. So the only thing you can really do is that hope he improves his own performance. And hey, maybe being a vegan will do exactly that. But it's up to the Rockets to supplement that roster with some veterans that want to be there, that will hold the peace, that will keep the line. Because Harden and Paul are the two most important players in the organization. And if they don't like one another, it's going to be miserable for everybody else on that roster. And Mike D'Antoni's not really a guy that's going to get in your face. So you need players in the locker room to do that for you. On the diamond, the New York Mets, as usual, dysfunctional. Over the weekend, Mickey Callaway, the manager, being asked some difficult questions by the assembled media about the use of the bullpen and about a sub-500 season right now and all the expectations that were on the Mets coming into the year to compete for the division. Those things seem out the window. So Callaway took offense to that to one of the reporters over the weekend in Chicago. Jason Vargas also challenging that same reporter to a fight. And the Mets had to apologize to said reporter. More bad times. In New York City on WFAN, a pair of Mets fans are irate. Here's Joe Meningo and Evan Roberts.
Sometimes the media is going to ask you tough questions. And sometimes you're going to think those questions are unfair. But as manager, you are a spokesman. And you've got to deal with it. That's what it, you've got to freaking deal with it. I'm not going to tell you that every question is fair or every question is right. But you know what you've got to do, Mickey? You know what Aaron Boone has to do? What David Fisdale has to do? What Adam Gase is going to have to do? What Pat Shurmur has to do? And what everyone who came before them has to do is you've got to freaking deal with it.
Yep.
That's it.
You do.
Deal with it.
And I'll even say this. I'll defend Mickey in this way. I'm sure his frustration comes from what you're saying, that he knows his hands are tied, and he knows that this is a game they had to win, and it was blown. In a number of different levels that are probably, above, like you said, beyond his control. So now the guy's like, I could understand the frustration level. But with that said, like you said, bro, you still got to handle it.
You just got to handle it.
You got to.
And what's crazy to me, and almost in a weird way makes this worse, is that Mickey Callaway is the gee-golly, we love everybody manager. Yeah. I'm not going to criticize my player because we love our players. And yet, the guy he loses it on, the guy he shows passion at, is a freaking beat writer. Yep. No offense.
Yeah, I know.
That's where the passion's coming from, because you know that every Met fan would love to see that passion from Mickey Callaway against an umpire, against the owner, against the GM,
against
the player.
Go tell him Van Wagenen, you know where you could stick it, because I got to play Jeff McNeil today, okay? Just start with that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how bad that loss was yesterday. I'm saying Saturday. I kept saying this Saturday after they blew them out Saturday. Man, you got to win this game Sunday.
Yeah.
This is a major game. You got your number one pitcher on the mound. You got to have this game. You got to finally win a series on the road. You got a little momentum. They actually, at that point, would have a winning road trip going into Philadelphia when we thought this was the end of the year. And for them to do what they did yesterday, it's a crusher, man.
It is.
It really is.
Now, the beautiful thing about baseball
is there's 80-something games left.
Well, and they play today. And if they win today and they win tomorrow and all, you know, before you know it, the Phillies have lost 10 in a row or 11 in a row.
That's the case.
We will feel better. But you're right. I mean, there was this feeling, at least I had, clearly you had, that, wow, they're going to surprise us.
Yep.
They're going to turn this thing around.
Yep.
This is going to be like I saw in basketball a few months ago with the Nets, when out of nowhere you go on a run. And yesterday was damaging. As far as Jason Vargas is concerned, I don't know what the history is here.
Who
I don't
knows?
Know what caused him to be so angry at Tim Haley. I don't know.
He said he was staring him down, right?
Yeah, I got
to
tell you.
He didn't say anything to him, did he?
Apparently not. I don't know. And honestly, as a Met fan, I don't care that much. I care more about the fact that the manager doesn't know what he's doing. The GM is tying the manager's hands behind his back.
Yep.
The owner doesn't get enough criticism in this town. We all know that. Let's go make fun of James Dolan but not say a word about Jeff Wilpon. And here we are in a season that feels frustrating and lost,
yep.
even though they're only 3.5 games out. Yep. It still feels
well,
lost.
And it's made worse because they got a lot of nice young players on this team. I mean, Alonzo and McNeil, let's start with them. How good are these guys? These guys are all-stars. I don't know if they're going to be on the all-star team. They're all-stars.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just an awful look for the franchise. This started back in the offseason with Brody Van Wagenen, their general manager. Brody wanted to get some cachet back in the city. He wanted to shake maybe the fan base out of its doldrums. He was hired because he could talk big and guarantee big things. And he said, you know, come get us. We're the favorites of the National League East, yada, yada, yada. And now you got egg on your face. And when you have pressure and you collapse under that pressure in New York City, it's going to get ugly. So for Vargas, for Callaway, and for the rest of the Mets that are sniping at media, hey, you got bigger fish to fry than the media, my friends. You got to start turning the season around or there's going to be a lot of people to get the axe just like your pitching coach did last week. And that has nothing to do with the coverage that you get in the newspapers. Over the weekend, Panthers quarterback Cam Newton was taking a flight to France, apparently, and this was going to be a 10-hour flight. So he got stuck on a middle seat, and he offered a man who had more legroom, $1,500, to switch. The guy said no, and people are going, wow, said no to Cam Newton for $1,500. Well, why did the guy say no? Here's the Sports Junkies, a 106.7 The Fan in D.C.
I think people are just like, why wouldn't you take the $1,500?
Yeah. Because if you're flying back and forth and you're looks like you're in some sort of business class or first class in France, from France, you might not need $1,500.
That's a good point.
You might not need it, and he doesn't want to be uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
For a 10-hour flight?
Who wants to be uncomfortable for 10 hours? You know what I mean? Now, I'm sure the guy had a price.
I'm surprised Cam Newton found himself in that spot. I would assume Cam Newton's always in first class.
Well, like Valdez says, he might have already been, but he just found somebody who had a sweeter spot in first class. Maybe that was a guy that didn't have like seats in front of him or...
When Cam sat down, it did not look like he was in a first-class cabin. It looked like he was just with all the donks to me. But I don't
that
know.
That might have been the case. Like, I mean, I don't know why he went to France. Like, this is just playing a complete speculation game, but let's say he went over there for some sponsor-type deal, and then the sponsor, you know, somebody booked him in his flight, and he just ended up in a regular seat.
It looks like the guy doesn't have a seat right in front of him. I don't know if it's an exit row. I don't know what it is.
I'm thinking maybe I've never been on a plane that size, obviously, but maybe it's after you get through like business and first class, like that first row in with the donks, might just have some extra.
Yeah, that's true. You know how like row one
magazines are
doesn't have like a row of seats in front of it or a tray table,
right?
And so a lot of people spread
that's
out.
That's what it looks like, but because he looks like he's just packed in with everybody else, that does not look first class esque.
No.
Trust me, from somebody who's never flown first class.
Right.
That it's more room than a lot of the flights I've been on, but it's not.
It just looks like one of the donks.
Just looks like a regular donk.
And then why would you turn? Let's just say you make a good living, but you know $1,500 is still a good amount of money
cash
for anybody. Why do you think he turned him down you think he just was taken aback? Could have just been sort of taken aback.
Maybe he's just rich and $1,500 does nothing to him. It doesn't mean anything.
Could be.
I mean,
it's not. Look, yeah.
Maybe he doesn't like the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's a big Saints fan.
Yeah.
And just hates Cam Newton, wants him to be uncomfortable.
But isn't there more than one person with legroom?
But this might have been a unique
aisle.
It might have been a unique seat, though.
He was on the aisle, and I think that extra legroom, especially, like you can stick your leg maybe out in the aisle a little bit when the.
No, he's in the aisle, too. Cam's in the aisle too. You don't want to listen. I sit in the aisle all the time. You can't really stick your leg out because they're always coming up with a damn cart.
Yeah, somebody's
it's really
going to the
not
bathroom.
A thing. You can't really do that.
You know what I noticed?
My guess
Southwest?
Is it might have been one of those rare ones where you didn't actually have a chair right in front of them.
I noticed this.
Yeah, Southwest, I think that's exactly what it is.
Southwest doesn't do the carts. Or at least the last flight that I did, I liked it. They basically came and
a
did
tray.
The order, and they wrote no. That they basically came up to your row, and then they said, "What would you like to drink?" I said, "You know, Coke." And they just jotted it down, and then eventually they came back, and then they handed it to you.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I've had that, too, but I don't know. I've been on a lot of short flights lately.
So. Cam might have just run out of time, too, to like, why didn't he offer anybody else? Maybe it would have been truly embarrassed to get turned down by several people.
No, I think it was a unique situation where there wasn't a chair in front of that particular seat. That was the hot seat. That was the best seat on the plane. And I think he just needed to up the ante. I think
he
had to go big.
Or the guy may have had a silly sitting next to him.
What? Or it could be, yeah, like if it was just your wife, he could have been traveling with his wife and say, hey, yeah. I don't want to, you know, or my kid or something. You know, I don't want to be separated. If I'm traveling with my daughter.
I only heard the audio of Pam. I didn't really hear the other side.
Right.
Did anybody hear the other side?
No. I did not.
I just hear Cam.
He was coming back from Paris.
1,500.
To
goes,
the U.S.
Catch.
Look, the length of the flight is the key here. This is a 10-hour flight, people. You're not just going to sacrifice a little legroom on 10 hours. 2.5-hour flight, no problem. $1,500, I'm good. Maybe for $1,500, Cam Newton keeps that in his pocket for a 2.5-hour flight. But once you get past the 4-hour mark, you can't. If you have afforded the legroom already, you can't just kick that away for $1,500. I think Cam Newton needs to offer more. I think you got to be up in the $5,000 range, and you really got to sweeten the pot, maybe Super Bowl tickets. Because let's face it, a 10-hour flight, you are not the same flight. You are not the same rider. You are not the same comfort level with no legroom on a 10-hour transcontinental over the Atlantic Ocean flight. It's just not the same. Plus, if it's true that Cam Newton missed his original flight for being late, you can't feel bad for Cam Newton. Look, you knew it was on the line. It was a long flight. You can't just waltz your way onto an airline and think you're just going to be buying off everybody for their legroom. Doesn't work that way. UConn left the Big East for the American 6 years ago, and since then, their programs have toiled in obscurity, essentially, outside of the women's basketball program. So men's basketball gets to jump back on the Big East bandwagon, but where does football play? Well, here is Brett McMurphy from Stadium, College Sports Insider, who joined the Jeff Calkin Show on 92.9 in Memphis. City of Memphis won't have UConn as a conference rivaler anymore.
That is a quote-unquote rivalry that just never took off. It was... it was
like UConn and the rest of the American.
Like UConn and the rest of the American. It is funny. There's of all the people who were... of all the unhappy media contingents as they came through Memphis, the UConn people were the most unhappy. They just couldn't believe that they were... doomed to this fate, that this program. It just why hasn't it worked with UConn and the American?
Well, the folks from UConn will say that it's because, which this has nothing to do with success on the field or on the court, but basically the fan base never bought into the makeup of the American. You know, they were a charter member of the Big East.
Right.
They're used to playing Georgetown, Villanova, St. John's, Seton Hall, Syracuse, although obviously they left to go to the ACC. But that's, you know, that's kind of their makeup. That's their DNA. That's their identity. Right. So then they, Big East schools, the Catholic schools, say we're going basketball only. So they're left with the American and football and all the other sports. And basically they could not get excited about playing the likes of East Carolina and Tulane. And you know the list of schools in the league.
Right.
I understand that.
Of course, yes.
With that being said, UConn, they won the national title. They're actually their first year in the American with Kevin Ollie in 2014. Since then, they've been to exactly one NCAA tournament, and they have three consecutive losing seasons in basketball. In football, it's 1,000 times worse. They went to the 2010 Fiesta Bowl. Since then, 8 consecutive losing seasons. They've won fewer than 3 games in 5 of the last 6 years, and last year's score record was 1-11. They had the worst defense in the history of college football a couple of years ago. So you can say the fans don't have an interest in the opponents they're playing. The fans probably don't have an interest in the quality of the programs dropping down so much, with the exception of women's basketball.
Right. So in some ways, the conference, it's being scapegoated for the failures of the coaching staffs of men's basketball and football. By the way, is this done? Like, how done is this?
I think there's, I believe an announcement could be made as early as this week. I mean, it would take effect in 2020. And then what's going to be fascinating, two couple things, which I'm writing later today for Stadium. I'll tweet it out later. But basically, the two biggest questions from all this, the bigger things as opposed to UConn going to the Big East, I think, is what happens to UConn football, which their options are not very good.
Right.
They want to be a football-only member in either the MAC, Conference USA, or the American. I've talked to sources in all those leagues. They said that is not going to happen. I had one source tell me that if UConn thinks they're going to be a football-only member in the American, they're delusional. We've made that clear to them ever since these rumors of going to the Big East popped up. So you take that out of the equation. UConn claims they want to stay at the FBS level. So that means you got to be an independent. Well, they're not Notre Dame. They're not even BYU, for that matter. So I don't think they can survive on the independent level in FBS. I think the best thing for them, although, again, UConn sources stress, they are not dropping football, they are not dropping down to FCS, would be to drop down to FCS. Idaho did it in 2018. They went from FBS to FCS. Because by getting out of the American, you've basically admitted we do not want to try to compete in FBS football at the highest level we can be. We have no aspirations to try to get, if there is one more round of expansion, we have no aspirations, and we've admitted we are not going to make the cut to get into a Power 5 league. So they've basically admitted they have no interest in doing that, or they realize they can't do that. So just why make it a, you know, quit pretending what you're not and just drop down to the FCS? So we'll have to see what happens with them.
This is the right move for UConn. They had just been buried in anonymity since going to the American. There's just no rivalries that anybody cares about. I mean, Memphis, Houston, East Carolina, USF, UCF. Nobody cares about those rivalries. It's not a real rivalry. And so getting back to the UConn of the Big East is paramount, even if it means no home for football. And it's smart, because what's football really bringing you anyway at this point in time? A couple of $1 million a year with the American TV revenue, and what, tens of thousands of empty seats every Saturday? I mean, give me a break. That is not worth sticking around to the American. UConn needed the Big East more than the Big East needed UConn. And finally, love is in the air in sports talk radio. Usually it's fighting and screaming and yelling about something, but no, today it was love. As one half of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas decided to pop the question on the air. Here's Sean getting engaged.
I'm out of questions.
All right, I have one real quick.
You got one?
I could ask you, this will be the final one, then our special guest coming in studio. I could go personal life with the family discussions that we have, all the pool parties that you let me throw, taking care of me and the house. I could go work, the 4 a.m. alarm clocks. You somehow sleep through those. The games on TV every night that you put up with. But I'll ask if you want to continue laughing, eating, and watching reality TV garbage with me.
What?
Amanda Contreras, will you marry me?
Oh my God. Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. Are you serious?
Surprise!
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm like shaking.
Bring it in, boss.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Oh my gosh.
This Michelle gave me the idea of the pool. It's her favorite song. My hands are shaking.
Sean's shaking.
Hey, we gotta hit break on time.
Oh, we're good. I'm
like, don't worry about the break.
Let the music play. This is great mariachi music. I love it.
To the lovebirds in the DFW area, congratulations from around the dial to you. You see, it's not all just yelling at people to be fired or traded or benched on Sports Talk Radio. Sports Talk hosts can have a nicer side, a lighter side, a lovelier side, even so much as popping the question and getting a yes, thankfully, because that's a big spot right there. You don't want to be told no in a spot like that on radio. Here on Sports Talk's best home around the dial for a Monday, June the 24th. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Love in the air.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.